This is Murky Chronicles, episode 41. I am Theful Law, the Butcher Dobashi.
And I am Gorgeous Kenny Roberts. How you doing, brother?
I am doing. How are you doing this Saturday morning? I'm kind of groggy, drinking some Java here, my second cup, and getting ready for our big rain pour coming in for the next couple of days during Memorial Day weekend. How about you?
Yeah, I'm sipping on some coffee. Got some Dutch Brothers. Got the what's that one called? Double Torture. So it's got a lot of caffeine, so I'm getting all amped up here, brother, for this episode. And looking forward here in Idaho. It's a little sunny. We had some rain last night, so hoping for some decent weather.
That's awesome. I like Dutch Brothers. I like Dutch Brothers. Going out to Joe Sosa up in California, you know, promoter of and a friend of Rumble in the Redwoods. Dutch Brothers is a good sponsor of the show. And, I usually get the tall, I believe it's like the Nitro one you had introduced me to, I think, at the Blackbeard coffee house.
Oh, Nitro cold brew?
Yeah.
Nitro cold brew? Yeah, that's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Whew.
But, pretty soon, no secret, I'm going to reopen the Dobashi Legacy in Tacoma, Dobashi Neighborhood Corner Store. And I think I'm going to set my studio up in that office. And so we'll be live from downtown Tacoma, Hilltop area, Dobashi Neighborhood Corner Store. And I'm going to have wrestling memorabilia out there. And I guess I'm going to be doing it live in the office at the store pretty soon.
That's awesome. It's funny how things go full circle, huh? I mean, you started out working in your dad's, and now you're going to have your own. That's awesome.
Yeah, remember back in the day when we had the ring in the back, parking behind the fence? Yeah, those are good old days.
That's good stuff, man.
We paid our dues, brother.
Yes.
Well,
we were backyard before backyard wrestling.
Yeah, back parking lot. But we were But we were training back to, we had shows, so we had legit shows, remember? Oh, that's another story.
Yep. Exactly.
But, we're working, we've been talking, but we were working on getting an UFO expert or anyone who has, abduction stories or anything like that. So we are going to play later on, courtesy of the Grunge YouTube channel, hands down the most bizarre alien abduction stories of all time. So that should be a good one.
That should be good. Can't wait to hear that one.
Yeah. Before we go any further, let's thank everyone in the United States who are listening and from around the world and the universe. Also to all the newbies from the USA and to all these countries. Hopefully I'll pronounce this right. HESSE, Hesse, Germany. We have listeners in South Wales, Australia, Karnataka in India, and of course Ontario and Quebec, Canada. We even got listeners in Sweden, Lisbon, Portugal, and Armenia. Armenia. I'm sure we got a lot of lesbians listening. Shout out to lesbians and gays out there too, because they all got ears.
Absolutely.
And if we missed anyone else, we apologize. And I'm just reading from the stats info we've received. And we would love to get any emails to murkychronicles@gmail.com to set us straight.
That's right. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Send us your stories, questions, anything.
Anything. Yeah. Damn you, Ken. You got me hooked on 90 Day Fiancé.
90 Day? Oh, man. Yeah, it's funny.
I know this is Murky Chronicles, but what'd you think about the latest episode?
That was last week. I don't know. I've already forgot it.
Yeah.
It's entertaining.
Did you get my TikTok text when it showed no Nick Ed? But my sister was telling me that was the very first person he met. It was a clip.
Oh, yeah. That's an old one. Yeah. I didn't even watch it because I was like, oh, yeah, that is an old one.
No, Nick Ed, he's the man.
Yeah. He made some money, man. He's making that money, and he seems to always be on. So, yeah, he's one of those guys they picked to kind of the golden boy.
Yeah. But
yeah, we need to get you on there.
Oh, man. I don't know, man. My history, I don't know about that, you know. I like to have it natural, but you know, I'm a promo whore. I'll do anything on TV to get more promo for Murky Chronicles or pro wrestling or, you know.
You forgot one. The grocery store, man. You started off the episode with your grocery store. So let's promo it again. Let's go. The Bossy's
Neighborhood Corner Store.
There it is.
Oh,
that's awesome, brother.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
This week.
Yeah.
What do we got going on this week?
Well, you know, we got emails that we still need to brush up on. But before that, and I know you love my jokes. I don't have jokes this week, but I got here. Since we kind of talk about getting some UFO stuff on here, I decided not to jokes, but I got my top 10 alien and UFO pickup lines that work.
Well, I'm ready to hear that. Let's go.
All right. Okay. I'll go start from number 10. Okay. Want to join the 1,000-mile high club?
I thought you were telling jokes, man.
Well, no, these are pickup lines.
All right, fair enough.
They're not jokes. Okay, right. Here we go. Your eyes, number 9, your eyes glow in the dark like the twin suns on my home planet.
Wow.
No?
Yeah, that might work for you.
Okay, number 8.
Try that.
All right, number 8. Hey, babe, want to take a ride in my saucer? No?
No.
Number 7? Are you a carbon-based model? Let me tell you something. My homies back in school and stuff. See, I was a type numbers guy. I'd keep on asking women out or, you know, girls, hey, do you want to dance? You want to go out? If 1,000 said no, one eventually says yes. So I'd go up to, like, the best-looking chick at the club or at school, ask them out, and, shoot, I would get some nice-looking dates. And my friends always respected that. I said, you know, my figure, if they turned me down and they were rude, hey, that's their loss. So, you know, I did have some cheesy pickup lines, and we got one in this thing that actually kind of worked for me, and we'll get to that soon. So, all right, number 6. Have you ever had a close encounter of the pantless kind?
Oh, man. As you notice, I've been silent because that one before this last one was like that bad.
Well, how about this?
That was that awkward silence I was trying to put out there, but I didn't know if you really picked up on that.
Oh, so you want me to play this?
I don't know, or that other one.
This one?
Yep.
All right, okay.
Yeah, it was that bad.
All right. Oh, okay, okay. How about this one? Number 5. Do you work for NASA? Because you're out of this world.
That might have worked in the 80s.
All right, now this
one. Did it?
What, that? Probably, but this number 4, I've used this one and it worked. But mine had a little different twist. I'll read it, and then I'll try to remember how I said it. Okay. Is your dad an astronaut? Because he stole the stars from the skies and put them in your eyes.
You used that one, huh?
Well, I had a similar version. I said something like, I'm trying to remember, Rustin Way. And my friends, they couldn't believe I said it. They dared me to say it, and it worked. And I said something about, are your parents in jail? And they're like, no, why? And I said, because they stole the sparkles and the stars and put them in your eyes. It worked, dude. Cheesier the better, dude.
Oh, man, that's funny.
All right, number three. What is the nice girl like you doing in a galaxy like this? No? Okay, quiet. No. Okay, okay.
That was bad.
Number two.
I need some sound bites on my end.
I know. Number two. Where have you been for the first 900 years of my life? All right.
Oh man, that was bad.
Here's number one. This one's pretty. This one's a pretty good one. So, you ready for number one?
Let's do it.
Of the top.
Drum roll.
Yep. Here are my top 10 alien and UFO pickup lines that work, and here is number one. You know what's faster than the speed of light? My heart when I think about you.
Those were bad. Those were bad.
You don't like those?
Nah, you know, they were themed. I'll give you the themed, but I'm going to give you one that's not themed towards what you were dealing with, out of this world pickup lines.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's a good one that would have applied maybe 20 years ago back when.
All right.
Pay phone, you know, go up to a girl, give her a quarter and say, here, call your boyfriend. And tell him you just found a man in your dreams.
Ooh, I like that one. Yeah. I like that. Okay, I give you that one. Hey, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you all right. How about me?
Oh, you're fine. My earphones.
I kind of backed away.
No, you sound good. It's just my earphones. I can't hear myself. But as long as you could hear me, I am fine. All right, brother. Well, shoot. Well, that was like a very entertaining first quarter of the show.
Yes.
So, anyways, what do you want to go ahead and knock out some of these emails?
Yes.
All right. Unless there's anything else you want to talk about.
Okay. Like I said, I got a couple on my end. A couple of emails over here.
Uh-huh.
So, whenever you want to go, fire them off, brother.
All right. Well, okay, I guess I'll read this one. Okay. This one, this is from Jackie Tunney. Jackie Tunney. Now, is Jackie with a IE? Is that a girl name or a man name? Because I know a woman could be a Jackie too.
Yeah, I think it goes both ways, right?
I guess. Okay, well, it goes, I'm a new listener and I love the show. I hope you keep it as real as you are now. As many people do not trust what they are hearing in the fake media about the government or any kind of news, we all know the mainstream media is all about propaganda. What are your thoughts about the media and the government acknowledges UFOs, what are your thoughts? Thanks, Jack Tunney, or Jackie Tunney.
Well, there's a lot of artificial intelligence, so it's kind of a tough one to keep an open mind. That's kind of where I'm at with that. As far as propaganda, You never know what's real. You gotta find a good source, right?
Exactly,
and hopefully who you think is telling the truth is feeding you what you want to hear, not necessarily, you know, not just their agenda. So it's kind of just do your homework. That's kind of my input. What about you, brother?
Well, I mean, this is all fact. Back in the Obama administration, they did pass a law, and you could look it up, that Obama passed a law that it's okay to lie to the American people for their own good, which I think is BS, right? So,
right.
So we already know the propaganda and all that BS in the news. And what's kind of hard, I'm not going to call out any news right now, but I was watching one and I was like, whoa, you know, they were better than a lot of them, right? And they were actually giving us a heads up. They were talking about what a lot of the mainstream media news, and this was on cable and also. And then I was doing my homework and I found out, I mean, they were saying a lot of truth, but they were kind of getting bought out by some stuff too. So I was like, man, I can't believe anything anymore. So it makes me want to do more research, you know? So
right.
Now it makes me wonder, like we talked before, you know, and we already know now the schools are just crappy for the kids, pushing the same sex and your identity. You know, like my cousin, I was at my cousin's last night. He got an email for, you know, her daughter from her school in Washington State. You know, how wacky our laws are. You know, they're teaching like elementary kids in kindergarten and all that about sexual stuff and confusing them with pick your gender. And I've noticed a lot of kids that they're kind of picking like a non-binary group or a bi group just because they want to fit in. Not necessarily that they're heterosexual, but now they're promoting, if you're heterosexual, you're boring and not cool. So that, going back to the UFOs, remember how before the government was denying everything about the UFOs, and now they're starting to right. talk about it, and they got forces and committees looking at UFOs. So this goes all the way back to the Blue Beam Project and the New World Order. I think eventually, with all this craziness and you don't know what's true going on with all these wars and stuff, I honestly do believe that, you know, we have a capabilities of doing all these illusions or stuff in the sky, holograms, that they will fake a War of the Worlds type invasion of the Earth and get all the governments and everyone to pull together for a one world government. So, you know, who knows? I really don't believe what I see, and just do your own homework and open your brain. Sorry, I went on a little rant there, but that's my thoughts.
It's all good.
That's my thoughts.
Right. Well, perfect. Well, I got one here on my end.
Okay.
It's from Sharon Cox from Beaverton, Oregon.
Say that name again.
Sharon Cox from Beaverton, Oregon.
Oh, a shout out Beaverton. I like Beaver.
Yep. It says, love the show, guys. Since Seattle named their NHL team the Kraken, do you believe that there is a Kraken in the waters outside of Seattle?
You want me to
answer? What's your thoughts on that?
My thought? Yeah. Well, I know I got like ADHD and I'm hopping all over the place. I don't really have ADHD. I don't know, but it's hard for me to focus this morning. And I'll bring in space into this because it's hard for me to believe that we've been to the moon and all of a sudden we lost all of our technology and knowledge and I think we should stay and focus on our seas, oceans, and fight out what's underwater, because that's pretty much a foreign territory as is. And there's so many different creatures in the depths in our oceans and seas that we don't know what's down there. I think they should, I mean, we can't even barely get to the bottom of our deepest oceans. I mean, and as for Kraken, yeah, I believe there's something out there. I mean, why wouldn't it? Look at the octopus. They're so intelligent. I mean, they're almost like an alien life form. You know, some people think maybe they were from outer space. They're smart. They could shapeshift and change colors. Maybe not technically shapeshift. But, yeah, I think there's got to be something like that. And I'm sure maybe the government knows some stuff they're not telling us. But, Yeah, I think there's a Kraken out there somewhere like that.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like there's something. There's definitely something. I know. I believe it was Jacques Cousteau's son came and was around the Narrows Bridge. I think back in the 90s or early 2000s.
No, it was Jacques Cousteau actually. I remember seeing that episode.
I wasn't sure if it was his offspring or if it was him, but uh-huh. I remember him saying there's got to be something down there. I know there's like that old debris from the old bridge that fell, and you know, then the depths of these seas, man, it's all uncharted waters, man. You never know. It's another world down there.
Well, sure. They do say the Puget Sound right under the Narrows Bridge, I mean, 15 minutes away from me, they said they do got like the world's largest octopus down there. And
yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yep. I bet you there's something down there. I remember fishing there underneath that bridge well as a kid. I mean, the currents and everything, it's just crazy waters there, man. Your boat will go into a spin if you're not trolling. It'll just start spinning, man. It's like a whirlpool. It's weird. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
So thank you, Sharon Cox, for the email, and keep on listening.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon Cox from Beaverton, Oregon, and shout out to my cousin and my nephews down in Oregon. One has a baseball tournament. Hopefully they're not rained out. And my other one, he has a big national basketball tournament. So I might have two professional athletes in the family soon.
Awesome.
So, yep. So thank you, Sharon Cox from Beaverton, Oregon. Okay. What do we have here? Okay. Oh, here's a good one. And this could be a whole nother episode.
All right.
This one's from Jelly, longtime listener. She emailed murkychronicles@gmail.com. Did you hear my burp? I put a pause or mute so you couldn't hear my burp.
I didn't hear a burp.
That's nope. Awesome. Okay. The more I listen to all the BS going on in the world, and you cannot believe what you hear anymore about our great space race, etc. What are your thoughts on the Antarctica and the Great Ice Wall? Good question. What's your thoughts? I've been doing research on this.
So tell me a little about it. I've not done any research on the ice wall. So.
Well,
is that the melting? Is that what you're saying? Or I mean, what is the ice wall?
Well, no. Okay. Now there's flat earthers out there, and I'm not saying the earth's round or flat, but you know, especially all the stuff going on. I mean, I'm not saying either or, but how do we know it's not flat? We're just listening to people tell us, you know, it's flat. You know what I'm saying? And I listen to both sides, and even the flat earthers have, you know, some good, you know, stuff. And well, the Great Wall, Antarctica, and they're saying that, did we lose you there?
Can you hear me?
Okay. I could hear you. They're saying that, you know, no commercial flights could fly over Antarctica. They're saying there's army bases there. They're saying, and people are saying, they're saying like over in Antarctica pass that there's a lot more continents out there, and there's all these, speculations. And so, okay, look, put it this way. If you try to fly down there without special permission, from the board, you will be intercepted by jets and possibly fired upon if you don't obey. So not anyone could just go out there and go over Antarctica. So there is no free explorations. You know, you can't go out there freely to explore. However, if you spend tens of thousands of dollars, you could go on a guided tour of a small section of the coast and, you know, and only with government personnel. I mean, that's kind of skeptical as it is. And, you know, there's supposedly military bases there. There's people saying there's underground things. There might be some aliens over there. So, you know, what are they holding back? And, you know, and for example, they were self-driving cars already in 1920s. Did you realize that? Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Okay. And they were, you know, they were electric cars back then. And don't people find it strange how quickly technology has progressed in the last decade? And look how fast smartphones came into the market. And, you know, the government obviously have way more technology than we know. And then the new technology we got is actually old, you know. So, I mean, it's just... What proof is there on the ice wall? Is there evidence? Like Admiral Byrd is quoted many times as proof for the ice wall and the flat earth. Admiral Richard E. Byrd was a naval military officer, and he's considered to be one of the greatest U.S. explorers of all time. He traveled to the North Pole and the South Pole during his service with the Navy. And so did Byrd lie, or did NASA and the military complex lie, or did they both lie? You know, Byrd said there is a land at the North Pole, and NASA said there are none. In an interview televised on Television Journal on the important issue, on the important issue hour broadcasted in the 1950s, you know, Byrd talked about the North Pole and the South Pole. Byrd states in the interview, after being asked if there's any land left to explore for young adventurers, he said there is, but not at the North Pole because it's getting crowded up there because they find it really usable, and not only to live in, but for military. And Byrd states that the North Pole is getting crowded. NASA states there is no land in the North Pole. So... which North Pole is Admiral Byrd talking about? The geographic North Pole or the magnetic North Pole? Did Byrd mean the North Pole in Alaska? I think everyone should raise some eyebrows and do some research. So, yeah, I did a little homework.
I've been to the North Pole in Alaska, so I'd probably say no. Probably the magnetic.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah. Was there actual pole in the ground?
No, but Santa Claus was there.
That's awesome. But yeah, don't you seem it's kind of weird that not anyone could go there? They'll get shot down if they fly over. What are they hiding?
And yeah, that's true.
And yeah. Do research. Look at the old maps. The old maps, they show something like the ice wall and everything's... I mean, you just don't know. I mean, with all this supposedly science, right now, how things are going... because religion is faith-based, correct? So, to me, science is like the new religion. There's no proof in this new science they're coming out with. Everything's faith-based.
Did you say MySpace?
Faith-based.
Say that real quick 10 times.
Faith-based.
All right, that was from Jelly Jelly.
Jelly Jelly.
Jelly Jelly, thanks for the email.
Hey, is there a reason why you don't have your video on?
I've got a week.
Oh, okay, that's okay. I was getting
your voice was getting real digital, so I was worried I was starting to lose a connection.
Okay, that's cool. That's all good. It's all good. All right, do you have any more? Okay. I got a couple more.
Yeah, I've got one more. From Ophelia Johnson from Hotlanta, GA. She just asked a question. She said she's been watching a lot of shows on Discovery Channel and History Channel about active volcanoes having UFO sightings. She wanted to know our take on that.
What? Oh, I never heard anything
about
that.
Have you seen that?
No. Oh,
yeah, I actually saw it was Expedition X or something like that. I watched something last week on that as well. They're down in South America around live volcanoes that are actively steaming off, and they're showing UFO sightings. like right around that. So yeah, I mean, that's, there's been multiple, I've seen probably 6 or 7 different shows on that. There's a lot of energy coming out of those volcanoes, you know, who's to say there's one that even they say there's, they go inside the live volcano and that's like a place for them to park and they, or they go down into the center of the earth. So,
oh, wow.
My take on it, you just never know. There's a lot of energy there. It could be just the film footage that I've seen. It could have just been, you know, it was real close to the, you know, the steam. You could just see this like orb or, you know, it was like a disc flying right by the top of the volcano. And I don't know. It could have been debris. It could have been a UFO. I'm not going to try and debunk it. So, yeah, maybe check it out. We can maybe revisit that next week as well, Dafla. Maybe you can find some more on it too. But
sounds good.
I thought that was a pretty good question.
Oh, it is. What, Ophelia Johnson?
Ophelia Johnson from Hotlanta, Georgia.
Hotlanta, right. Did you see that clip? I don't know if it was from Mars or the moon. Did you hear that burp? I put my mute on.
No burp.
Okay, good. They showed pictures, supposedly pictures. I mean, it's hard to, we won't even get to that, but it looked like there was actually like a bunker or like a entrance into the, one of the walls. Like, obviously it looked like someone made it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of interesting, but like I said, I have an open mind. Anything's possible. I mean, how do you know we're not even living it? How do we know we're not living in a simulation? We just don't know. We just got to live life to the fullest, do what's right, and do what we got to do and what we enjoy to do.
Right. Enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride. The great space coaster. Off we go. Step inside. Go into a magic ride. Remember that great space coaster?
Barely.
Yeah, I don't even know if I had the right lyrics, but all right.
Yeah, I don't remember that one at all.
All right, I got a couple more here.
Couple more? Okay.
This one is from Fuck Jew. Spelled PHUCJEEW. Fuck Jew. Fuck you.
What?
Yep.
Okay.
Emailed lyricalspit@gmail.com and it says, do you think magic is real? I know there are illusionists, but I am talking magic. Hope to hear your answer on this show.
We've touched on this a few times before.
Yeah.
I think what you see on TV, I'd much rather see it live myself. So that way I can definitely make the, have the opinion that it's 100% real. But I think they're illusionists. That's my opinion. And I'm sticking to it.
Well, I think there are great illusionists out there, but I think, you know, I like I said, I have an open mind. How do we know there ain't like demons or just people that have supernatural powers? I mean, great way to make money, great way to cover your power, saying it's illusion. You know, and there's people doing black magic, white magic, different kinds of magic. I mean, heck, everyday life's a magic. Our respiratory system, our bodies are magic. But I think there is. Like I said, I seen a Chris Angel episode that really just said there's no way. So yeah, I think there's out there, there's like supernatural people out there, and just like they live, you know, maybe we'll wear some magical glasses like Roddy Piper did, and one day we'll see all this stuff happening, all these so-called lizard people out there walking around and with magic. So yeah, I think there is. I mean, why not? Anything's possible. Literally, I think anything's possible.
That's true. I make the magic in my bedroom, so I'm a magician. Maybe I'm an illusionist. I don't know, but...
Yeah.
All right.
All right. We got one last email here, and I didn't really think too much about this last one, but this is a fun email, and this one is from Richard Payne.
Richard Payne.
Yep. Sent to us to murkychronicle@gmail.com. Matter of fact, I actually had a professor named Richard Payne at college. Oh, I could tell you some stories, off air, but great show, longtime listener, first time emailer. And this is Richard Payne from Pierce College. What's up, brother? If it's you, awesome that you're listening. If not, still awesome you're listening. Great show, longtime listener, first time emailer. The seven wonders of the world are the Taj Mahal, India, Colosseum, Italy, Chichen Itza, Mexico, Pichu in Peru.
Pichu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christ, the big
Redeemer.
Yep. In Brazil, Petra in Jordan, and the Great Wall of China in China. The eighth wonder of the world, the late great Andre the Giant, and the ninth is China. Yeah, that's true. So what would your 10th wonder of the world be and why? Richard Payne.
I think you're going off the cusp on this one. You haven't really given too much thought on it.
No. Well,
I mean, if we were, I don't know. You know, if we were going to stick with wrestlers, there's a couple of big guys that, you know, who's that new big guy that's
Omos.
WWE?
Omos.
Omos, he can fill in for that. What's the other guy from India?
Great Khali.
Khali. Yeah, he was a big savage guy there. He looked great, man. That was a big guy, man. He was in good shape. But one of those two for the 10th. Otherwise, if we're going to go with landmarks or something like that, Grand Canyon. I mean, that could be one of the wonders of the world. Big old hole in the ground. Definitely took a lot of years to make that worth checking out. What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, speaking of Grand Canyon, I was reading something a while back that they had found artifacts from Egypt or the Middle East or something like that there. Did you hear anything about that?
No, but that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember. So I think, you know what? I thought the Great Pyramids was one of the wonders of the world.
I thought so too. Maybe what was his name? Payne? Richard Payne? Maybe he missed it on his list.
Yeah. One of my generic ones would be pyramids, because they were saying. Now they're trying to say that pyramids were like a force of like energy. Did you hear about that? Like,
man, I've heard so many different things about those, but yeah, that's it's crazy how those were built.
They were saying that they found new watermarks that Cleopatra's time was closer than our first iPhone than it was to the first built of the pyramids, ancient pyramids. That kind of blew my mind.
Wow.
And then I also read, everyone would think the pyramids were like, the most of them would be like in Middle East or Egypt or something like that. But I want to, don't quote me, I was reading that pyramids were mostly like in South America or something like that. Weird. You hear anything about that?
The pyramids?
Yeah, there was more like in South America or something like that. I can't remember
They have a couple, you know, the Aztecan or Mayan pyramids down there. They have some of those in Mexico. I don't know about South America. I thought they were mostly in Mexico, but
Well, I all I know, I was kind of thrown off, but they were saying there were more pyramids other than Egypt, pretty much.
Oh, yeah, there is. There definitely is, but they're definitely shaped different. They're not like the ones in Egypt, that's for sure.
So what's your thought? To me, it's hard to believe. There's no way. Well, obviously there is. I mean, we would have trouble right now to duplicate a pyramid. The precise of all the angles, I mean, everything had to be on point or it'd be all thrown off. That being right. said, one theory was, was civilization so advanced that it all resetted? You know what I'm saying? Like, look how fast we advanced. Like that one emailer saying, we talked earlier, like how advanced we went in from like one decade with all the phones and technology. We did more in the last decade than we did in the last 200 years. Is that eventually going to happen to us? There's going to be like, you know, everything's going to be like reset back to Stone Age again?
Never know.
So my other tenth one of the world, though, I would have to say all these mindless sheeple. I see they listen to all this news and they're scared and they don't think for themselves and everything. That's fine. If you want to wear your mask out in public, that's fine. I'm absolutely okay with that. It's America. It's everyone has their rights to do anything. But I have a problem when, you know, people are getting forced to get injections and you got to do this, we're all going to die. Whatever happened to common sense? Whatever happened to, I mean, it just amazes me seeing, especially this, people getting brainwashed. And instead of, if you came up to me and said, hey, I want to get injected with this and this is why, and you actually believe and did your own homework and say, hey, this is what I want to do, and you wanted to do it, that's fine. As long as you're okay with me not doing it, you know what I'm saying? People right. just got to worry about themselves and stop just being scared and to do things and then persecute and go after people like they did in the Salem, you know, witches and burn them at the stake. I mean, that's what we've gotten to. If you speak your mind and people don't agree with you and you're offended, you're canceled. And that's all BS.
So you're saying is if we could just all agree to disagree.
Right. Exactly. And not hate someone for it.
Yeah. Nope. Move on.
I mean, just like LGBTQXYZ and all them. If that's what you want to do and that floats your boat, that's great. You know? And there's good people in there, but whatever your sexuality or whatever you want to do, do it. Don't push your beliefs on me. I have my belief. You have your beliefs. But we could all live in harmony and peace. But I think that's my biggest thing. People worry about what other people do and instead of focusing on the good and just be a happy society. So that's my 10th wonder. Why can't people just be like that? Be like us. Okay. I don't know.
All right.
Oh, I don't know where I went with that, but that was total off the cuff. But
you nailed it.
I nailed it. So just like I say, the quote, hate don't beat hate, but love has a chance.
That's it.
Well, shoot, man. I mean, that's all I got. I think we're caught up with our emails for a while. Yep. You know, just stay tuned. You know, follow us on social media and all that. And, we're going to have some more guests on and I apologize. Lyrical Spit's been kind of on the, not back burner, but I got working on a new studio and at the Debauchee Neighborhood Corner Store and, things will be going. I haven't forgot about Lyrical Spit, but I mean, that's all I got. I'm just rambling. The coffee's kicking in. I'm going to go to the gym. Hopefully I'll be back 100% soon. I'm going for surgery June 13th.
Awesome.
I know you got your injuries going on. We're going to be hopefully 100% in the next decade, so we could have our one more match, one more dance.
Yep. Our Ric Flair type one more dance.
I'm actually pumped for this. I'm actually pumped. I think it's going to be awesome.
Has he announced an opponent yet?
No, but I know they debunked the Hulk Hogan thing.
Oh, that's good.
They were saying on their podcast on Woo Nation, Conrad was like, "Hey, Rick, do you hear the latest rumor about Hulk Hogan?" And they're like, "Oh," and then he was like, "Really? No one ran him by me?" He goes, "I know he's going to be there, but it's the first time I heard he's going to wrestle." So, and congratulations to Charlotte Flair. Her and Andrade got married.
That's good.
So anyways, I'm just kind of going over the place. Real quick. Speaking of punchlines or pickup lines, do you remember when I was on, did you ever see the episode of Northwest Afternoon? We were in studio and me and Lewis, and we were promoting a show and we were on live TV.
Yeah, I remember you were on there.
Do you remember that the line I did at the end?
I don't.
I go, "Are your parents terrorists? Because they made you and you're the bomb."
Oh my goodness.
That worked. That worked for me plenty of times.
That's awesome. That's a good one.
Yeah. But anyways, you got anything else or?
No, that's it. No, I'm ready to do some shout outs.
All right. Let's get it going.
All right. Want to shout out to Micah over at Savage Reviews. What's up, Micah? Thank you for listening. Check him out on Google if you are here in the Boise area, or he travels a lot. So just check him out. And if you've got any questions about restaurants or anything like that, he's definitely pretty in-depth reviews. So check him out. And then we'll go over to Emerald Street Kennels. Vince over there, he takes care of dogs and cats, whether it be boarding or just daycare. So check out Vince over at Emerald Street Kennels here in Boise, Idaho. And then I want to do a shout out to Debashi's Corner Street Market. What's up, Debashi? Get that market open. Let's go.
Yeah, you mean Debashi's Neighborhood Corner Store?
Yeah, whatever. We need to get that logo put up on your screen so I can see it. But, yeah, you know what I meant.
No, I know anyways, what you meant. I appreciate it.
All this wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for you, brother. So thank you very much. Well, that's all I got this week.
Thank you. You know, that's another thing I miss about working in the store. I love talking to people, get to know that neighborhood. And I've been getting good feedback because, you know, the Debashi name's been kind of prominent in Tacoma in the store. You know, I could go to Seattle, I've been to California, even in Michigan, people Debashi, you know. And so I'm kind of stoked about that. And then, you know, and Marion wrestling into that and putting up some memorabilia, and you know, we'll get some gorgeous Kenny Roberts memorabilia in there. So thanks for that shout out. You know, and thanks for everything you did, because, you know, you had a hand in my beginnings in professional wrestling and we had some good times. I think you and I should get on Lyrical Spit and talk about the old times. We could talk about, here's a teaser, about the whole me running over Johnny Graham.
Yes.
Oh man, that's, should we tell that story right now?
Nope. We got to save it for another time, man.
Okay.
Let's just keep them hanging.
All right. Yeah, you guys had me crapping. That was good.
Oh my goodness! Yeah.
And
all right.
Shout out to Tales from the Abyss, Jay Linderman, and Paul Hurojo. Great podcasts on all major podcast platforms. You could get Lyrical Spit and Murky Chronicles on all major podcast platforms at lyricalspit.com. and also for all the links. And don't forget about the 24-hour hotline, 360-200-8779. Leave a message, and you may just hear yourself on the show. And I know that you're out of commission, but I still love this tagline, sweet and low upholstery. They got the best tagline in the business, and I wish I would have trademarked that, and I use that in wrestling, say you're going to bust their head up and because they're stitching is bitching. So
that's it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep. So, I mean, I guess that's about it, huh?
Yep. Until next time.
All right. So, you know, don't forget right after this brief commercial break, we got that, that hands down, you know, stories about NFL, bizarre alien abductions of all times, courtesy of the Grunge YouTube channel. So check that out. And we'll be back right after this brief commercial break. Hashtag save our children. Epstein and McAfee didn't kill themselves. And if she has an apple, she has a banana.
Banana.
Yes, we have no bananas. Banana.
With the U.S. government finally acknowledging numerous instances of UFO encounters, we thought it would be a good idea to delve into some of the most bizarre alien abduction stories of all time. There's lots to cover, from the late 1800s to present day, so let's blast off. Of all the people to make a claim of alien abduction, Kirsten Ilyushinov seems like a prime candidate, at least on paper. Ilyushinov is a world-class chess player, former president of the World Chess Federation, a multimillionaire, and the former president of the Russian Republic of Kalmykia. At one point in time, his name was even being floated around to head FIFA, because when you think rich chess guy who used to run a republic, soccer immediately comes to mind. In a story eerily reminiscent of that iconic scene from Back to the Future, Ilyushinov claims that in 1997, aliens wearing yellow spacesuits showed up at his Moscow apartment and yanked him to a spaceship waiting in orbit. The Huffington Post reported that during his time in space, the aliens supposedly took him to other planets and left him with the impression that chess was introduced to humans by aliens. And here we thought pro wrestling was the earthling activity that most likely came from outer space. Since returning to Earth, he also voiced concerns that he might have told the extraterrestrials state secrets during his abduction. In Putin's Russia, that's kind of a big deal. But the most bizarre aspect of the story is not that these claims were made on television while Ilyushinov was president of Kalmykia, which they were, but that these claims did not immediately end his political career. As reported by Live Science, Antonio V.S. Boas woke up on the morning of October 15, 1957 as an ordinary farmer and would go to sleep that night with a story that would make Captain Kirk envious. While working his farm at night, V.S. Boas looked to the sky and saw a blinding light floating above him. The light began moving across the field at incredible speeds. When it stopped, V.S. Boas realized that he was looking at a UFO that was now landing on his field. Allegedly, four spacesuit-wearing aliens then emerged from the craft and overpowered him, eventually forcing him into a small room on the craft. This is the point in the story where things start to get even stranger. A humanoid female with platinum blonde hair apparently came into the room and made bedroom eyes at the confused farmer. Assessing the situation for what it was, V.S. Boas decided to boldly go where no man had gone before.
You prefer alien love!
He believes the goal of his abduction was to create a new hybrid species, but that nuanced thought was most likely the farthest thing from his mind during his supposed rendezvous. We can all understand that, right? Even human couples forget they're making a baby when smack dab in the middle of the process. One of the more inspiring alien encounters on this list happened to Gustavo Gonzalez and Jose Ponce on the streets of Petare, Venezuela. One night in 1954, while the pair were on a late-night drive, a glowing sphere suddenly appeared and blocked the road. Gonzalez claims that three short and hairy aliens came out of the sphere and walked towards them. The exact details of what allegedly happened next have been lost to history, but it is unanimously hoped that the words, "come at me, bro," were spoken at least once.
What do you want to do, huh? What do you want to do?
The three knockoff Ewoks then attempted to abduct them. According to Gonzalez, one of them jumped on his back while he attempted to stab it several times with his trusty knife. However, the knife was unable to cut the alien's alleged steel-like skin. According to Little Book of the Paranormal, Gonzalez was then paralyzed, quote, by a beam of light shot at him from a tube-like object. The aliens then retreated to their ship and promptly shot back up into space. So to recap, three aliens whose species had mastered the secrets of interstellar travel were allegedly forced off an entire planet by two everyday men, one of whom had a pocket knife.
Welcome to Earth.
The abduction experience of South African Elizabeth Klarer sounds more like a Sci-Fi Network original than a real-life event. Klarer lived a remarkable life prior to her alleged abduction. The woman studied music, meteorology, and aviation. Plus, during World War II, she served with the Royal Air Force before doing a stint with British military intelligence. Klarer's life would change dramatically in 1956 when she was standing on the ironically named Flying Saucer Hill. According to Klarer in her autobiography, she was abducted by a member of an alien race from the Alpha Centauri system. During her abduction, Klarer met a rather dashing alien named Akon, no relation to the rapper we assume, and the pair fell in love. After a brief courtship, Klarer later claimed she gave birth to a hybrid child who was taken back to the planet Meton to be educated in the ways of the universe. It really is beautiful when two people can look beyond their species, planet of origin, cultural differences, and the fact that one of them almost certainly doesn't exist in order to find true love. Most people, normal people that is, cope with alien abductions in the only rational and logical way, go on a lifelong bender, and convince themselves they imagine the whole ordeal. Luckily for us, Whitley Strieber is not a normal person. He's an accomplished novelist whose works have been adapted into movies and television shows. After his abduction, Strieber dedicated his life to profiting off of his abduction experience, while altruistically attempting to warn the planet about the danger of alien-human hybrids. So, what happened? Well, on December 26, 1985, Strieber was hanging out in a cabin in the woods when his abduction happened. Strieber, being a writer, did what he did best. He documented his experiences in the novel Communion. The aliens in the novel are described as having huge eyes, gray skin, and triangular heads, meaning Strieber's abduction created the templates all further abductees would follow when making their claims. For the last several decades, Strieber has become a celebrity in the abductee community, with numerous television appearances, novels, and podcasts. In 1957, 5-year-old Jesse Long experienced his first alien abduction, which allegedly occurred while he was playing in a field. Long was supposedly taken into an alien ship and escorted into a metallic room where an object was implanted into his leg. In 1991, the object was removed from Long's leg and analyzed in an actual laboratory by real scientists. The results of the testing were interesting, to say the least. Apparently, the object removed from his leg had an unusual surface composition and other interesting characteristics that could not easily be explained away. This object was allegedly implanted during the first of the many abductions Long would experience in his life. During a later abduction, Long claims to have met his alien-human hybrid children, who were conceived from sperm harvested during a previous experience. Rather than take the time-tested approach of claiming his out-of-town girlfriend was from Canada, Long put a unique spin on that story, claiming his girlfriend was from another universe. At the very least, Long deserves some credit for his originality. When making a spectacular claim, credibility really is everything. Miguel Mendoza actually has some, albeit not enough to push his story past the realm of speculation. Mendoza is a green energy expert whose work has been used to formulate energy policy in the United Kingdom. According to The Express, when not attempting to prevent a climate change-induced apocalypse, Mendoza is apparently attempting to save the world from a covert takeover by alien-human hybrids. While not an abductee himself, Mendoza claims to have interviewed several alien hybrids who live among the general population. According to Mendoza, the hybrid's human DNA has been augmented with the genes of, quote, reptilians, Syrians, tall whites, and other species, in the hopes that the human race will be improved in some way. Shockingly, Mendoza claims genetic testing of the hybrids among the general population would only show human DNA. Mendoza's research and interviews have been collected in a book which, tragically, lacks instructions for identifying potential alien hybrids. It doesn't even offer instructions for making an effective aluminum foil hat. Come on, man! Tom Cruise is exceptionally good at running toward a camera, Michael Bay is really good at blowing things up, and comedy writers are really good at explaining to landlords why rent checks are late.
Dude, tomorrow's already the 10th.
Far out.
As far as alien abductions go, former British Ministry of Defense employee Hillary Porter is the best in the business. Porter claims her first alien abduction happened when she was in a fenced-in garden at the tender age of 5. Since that time, she has reportedly been abducted, quote, more times than she can count. According to The Mirror, she also claims that an alien broke into a top-secret research lab while she was working there. In other words, aliens were able to abduct Porter from a secure facility located in the same country that gave us James Bond. This does not bode well for Earth. Porter claims to have had genetic material harvested from her, as well as various medical experiments conducted on her during her many abductions. Luckily, since coming to grips with her abduction habits, Porter has become a celebrity in the British abductee community and can often be found at the various alien abduction conventions throughout the UK. No judgment here. Everyone needs a hobby. UFO sightings go back a lot farther in history than you might think. One even goes all the way back to the years of 1896 and 1897. According to Plane and Pilots, during this time period, there were around 150 sightings of massive aircraft moving through the skies at speeds of up to 150 miles per hour. Airships at the time tended to toddle along at just about 5 miles per hour, and yes, it's faster to walk. It wasn't in an isolated location either, and the sightings were spread out across 20 states. Interestingly, many people claim to have seen human-like creatures on the outside of the craft, and a few claim to have gotten up close and personal with them. Colonel H.G. Shaw claimed he had been out for a ride in the country when he came across a UFO that had landed nearby. Three alien creatures had attempted to abduct him, but Shaw reportedly made it quite clear that he wasn't going to have any of that nonsense and fought them off. Another tale was published by the San Francisco Examiner in the midst of these sightings. A California electrician named John Horan claimed that he had actually been taken on board one of these mysterious crafts, and he hadn't been probed. Nope, he'd instead been taken on an overnight trip to Hawaii. His wife later ruined his shot at fame when she revealed that, no, he'd definitely been at home at the time he claimed to have been in Hawaii. Shot down. There are a lot of reasons that aliens might come to Earth, but according to Bridget Nielsen and the members of her hybrid children community, one of the biggest reasons is that they want our DNA. They use it to create alien-human hybrid children, and the HBC explains it like this. Everyone involved in the hybridization program made a soul agreement before coming into this lifetime to take part in the agenda to awaken humankind and reunite us with our galactic family. They add that 5 new races have been created, and the first generation hybrids are on alien crafts with one of the races called the Shalinea. Most of the communication between the human parent and their children is done, quote, in dream time, when children are taught everything they need to know about humans. Sometimes people are abducted to go visit their children in person, and yes, sometimes are abducted for some good old-fashioned DNA harvesting. There are a surprising number of people who have joined the community to get closer to their alien children, and Nielsen knows how important that connection can be. She is the mother of 6 hybrids: Crystal, Lily Luna, Neo, Tio, Alice, and Twister. She says that she's met some of the men who have contributed their DNA to her hybrid children's existence, and that some remember their abductions while others do not. Yikes. George Hunt Williamson was one of the early UFO researchers, and in the 1950s, he wrote a book called Other Tongues, Other Flesh. It's a weird rambling tome, and in it, he recounts a story first told in the Los Angeles Mirror. In November 1953, two local electricians named Carl Hunrath and Wilbur Wilkinson rented a small plane and headed off into the wild blue yonder. They never came home, and the plane was never found. After they were reported missing, Wilkinson's wife said that they had firmly believed the world was ending, and that the end was coming at the hands of, quote, strange little men from either Mars or a planet called Massar. She said that Hunrath had stockpiled recordings of his conversations with the aliens, who had given him what was going to be the, quote, new interplanetary language. While the Mirror reported that local authorities were pretty skeptical that it had been a saucer kidnapping, Williamson suggests in his book that it might have been a voluntary abduction. Williamson said that before the two men disappeared, Hunrath had called a few buddies to say goodbye. He'd added, "Others have left the Earth to go to other planets, so do not be surprised if I leave soon." Williamson also clarified that the wife of Hunrath's missing partner had misunderstood and that the aliens were actually from the moon. You know, just minor details. So let's talk about the confessions of Simon Parkes, a Labour Party councillor for the English town of Whitby. Incidentally, the town is famous for a connection to Bram Stoker, Dracula, and having their own personal hellhound. Why not add alien encounters to the list as well? According to The Guardian, his shocking confession came in 2012. He admitted that his, quote, real, more important mother was a 9-foot-tall, green-skinned alien woman. He explained that he had known this for a long time, and things escalated when he was 11. That's when his alien mother picked him up for a trip on her spacecraft. And this is by no means the end of the story. The Scotsman reported that Parkes went on to say that he now had regular liaisons with an alien woman he called the Cat Queen. Those liaisons had resulted in a daughter named Zarka, and he added, My wife found out about it and was very unhappy, clearly. That caused a few problems, but it's not on a human level, so I don't see it as wrong. Easy to say, as long as you're not the wife, of course. In the 1940s, Richard Schaber wrote a series of stories, many of which were published in the sci-fi magazine Amazing Stories, that told of an underground world where a race of creatures had set up shop to control the humans on the surface. It's all pretty epic sci-fi, but here's the thing. As far as Schaber was concerned, it was 100% true. According to the Los Angeles Review of Books, Schaber fully believed that the diabolical Darrow and the kind Taro were the descendants of a race that had once lived on the surface, until some fled underground and others fled to faraway planets. His work was edited, heavily rewritten, and published by the controversial Ray Palmer, though he claimed he had kept Schaber's message. According to the Encyclopedia of Arkansas, Schaber knew that Taro and Darrow existed because he'd been abducted by the latter after he had developed telepathic abilities in 1932. And here's where the controversy comes in. Schaber claimed that he had been held captive in a subterranean world by the Darrow, and he'd witnessed firsthand how terrible they were. It later came out that the time he claimed to have been held captive, he'd actually been committed to a psychiatric hospital. Schaber was never officially diagnosed, but is widely believed to have been a paranoid schizophrenic. After interest in his stories waned, he went on to document rock books, which were essentially alien messages he claimed to have been buried inside rocks. When Riley Martin died in 2016, Howard Stern said a special goodbye and called him, quote, one of the greats. Martin had been a staple on Stern's show for nearly a decade, and he spent a lot of that time talking about his encounters with a race of aliens called the Beavians.
The Beavians.
This is the aliens that came to Beavians?
They are Beavians. They rarely abduct people at random. They have a purpose.
Martin claimed that he had been abducted many times throughout his life, starting with a first interstellar trip in 1953. It was during his second abduction when the Beavians, quote, downloaded the history of humanity, alien insights, and a massive knowledge into his memory. They were a super friendly group who also shared with him hundreds of thousands of different symbols. Here's the really clever part, though. Claiming that he was able to faithfully recreate the symbols, he was more than happy to share the positive vibes the symbols brought via his website for $40 plus free shipping. Not only were the symbols bringers of positivity and light, but they could keep illness and bad luck at bay. And most importantly, they would serve as a ticket. When the time came for humankind to exit stage left, the Beavians were going to be there waiting with a one-way trip to a, quote, distant, beautiful, unpolluted planet. One of Martin's symbols was required to be considered for the trip, but don't worry, it didn't mean you had to go. If you wanted it just for the good vibes, that was fine too. Emilsyn is a small town in the south of Poland, and anyone who finds a reason to visit will find that it's the home of a strange monument. It commemorates May 10, 1978, the day a 71-year-old local named Jan Wolski found himself issued an invitation he simply couldn't refuse. Culture recounts his story. On a perfectly ordinary day, Wolski was taking a perfectly ordinary ride in his perfectly ordinary wagon when suddenly he saw two figures standing in the road ahead of him. They were vaguely humanoid, but had finned hands and green skin. Still, when they hopped into his wagon and invited him into their nearby UFO, he saw no reason as to why he shouldn't go, so he did. Once he was on board, he said that the very polite aliens requested that he strip naked. He agreed, and they passed what looked like some metal plates over his body. Then they indicated he could get dressed again and offered him a bite to eat. He declined and headed back to his wagon, but not before everyone waved and nodded their goodbyes. Wolski became famous in Poland, and in all the interviews he gave, his story remained consistent. A monument was erected in 2005, 14 years after Wolski's passing. In 2020, the Clarion Ledger reported that an audio recording of the terrified testimony of two men who had claimed to have been abducted by aliens 47 years prior had just come to light. Calvin Parker and Charles Hickson said that they had no idea they were being recorded as they gave their statement, and hearing it again brought back some serious trauma. In 1973, the two had been fishing on the Pascagoula River when an 80-foot craft appeared in the sky. Three floating aliens appeared, all of them lacking legs and featuring hands shaped like mittens with claws.
By the time we stood up and turned around, they was there on us all at one time.
When the alleged aliens grabbed the men, they said they felt instantly calm as if they'd been drugged. After the aliens dragged them into the craft and performed examinations with the aid of a device they described as a big eye, Parker and Hickson were dropped off where they'd been picked up. Meanwhile, around 50 people had been calling the local police, reporting that there was something strange in the skies. Detectives didn't believe them, but the new recording revealed the conversation they'd had when law enforcement left. They were terrified, with Hickson saying at one point, I thought I'd been through enough hell on this earth, and now I've got to go through something like this? Glenn Ryder was police captain at the time and later said, I don't know what happened to them, but I know you don't fake fear, and they were fearful. According to Discovery, when Geraldine Orozco struggled through several miscarriages, she claimed that there was much more to it. Every time she said the baby was missing. As it turns out, she allegedly came to find that her babies were being taken from her by alien entities. She recounted how she was abducted 8 times, and during one of those times, she was taken to meet children that she believed were the babies that had been harvested from her. She described them. They're not all the way human, this gray, thin skin to a much bigger head and these giant eyes that are so deep and so profound and so complex. What I recognized as I was meeting that child was that it was my child. Orozco believes that her experiences go back to a deal that former President Dwight D. Eisenhower made with aliens. In a nutshell, the aliens were going to be allowed a certain number of abductions, and breeding hybrids was 100% part of it. Her Instagram says that she identifies as a hybrid mother and continues to explore interdimensional contact. Stan Romanek claimed he had his first close encounter in 2000 when a video he made of a reported UFO made the local news. Years later, he told ABC, "What are they? I couldn't tell you. Are they from a different planet? I can't tell you. I know they're not human, whatever they are." In the years that followed, Romanek says he went on to be watched all the time, like literally. He said, "They're harassing me, and I can't tell you why. I have no answer to that." One of his abductions happened when aliens knocked on his door at 2:30 in the morning. Another tapped him on the shoulder, and he says he was transported somewhere else to be subjected to a massive data dump of horrible images streamed right into his mind. Romanek claims to have all kinds of proof, such as x-rays of a mysterious implant that disappeared when he wanted to have it examined, or puncture wounds that he said are indications of where the aliens conducted their tests. He also claims that when he goes missing for a few days and checks his camera, he often finds pictures of aliens. The Huffington Post says this isn't the only reason Romanek has been in the news. In 2013, his home was raided on suspicion of child pornography. When he was ultimately arrested, he claimed it was all a conspiracy. Back in 2003, author Michael Meyer had the opportunity to sit down with a Chinese man who claims to have slept with an alien. His name was Ming Jiaguo, and he was a lumberjack from the Red Flag logging commune. His encounter happened in 1994 when he saw a flash and a flicker of light that he first thought to be a crashed helicopter. He approached the site, but was hit by some unseen force and knocked unconscious. When he woke up, he was home. Just a couple nights later, he was awakened with a shock. He was hovering above his bed and in the middle of copulating with a massive six-fingered alien woman. He described her as having, quote, thighs coated in braided hair. And when he sketched a picture of his extraterrestrial lover, she bore a striking resemblance to the Michelin Man. That wasn't entirely the end of it. Meng said that about a month had passed when he awoke to find himself rising into the air again. This time, he was levitated into a spaceship where he met other aliens who told him that they were refugees from their dying planet on their way to their new home. And while it wasn't possible for him to see his alien lover, they did reassure him. In 60 years, on a distant planet, the son of a Chinese peasant will be born. If there's any phenomenon that everyone might at least grudgingly agree might be of extraterrestrial origin, it's music. In the case of a man born as Herman Blount, he believed that's exactly what happened. He was born in 1914, and according to another man, it wasn't until 1953 that he told the world that while he was in college, he had been whisked away to Saturn by extraterrestrials. It was there that he says he learned his ultimate purpose in life, which was to become a spirit guide for mankind. The planet, they told him, was heading in a downward spiral pretty quickly, and he was going to help stop it. Blount changed his name first to Le Sonnera, then Sun Ra, saying that he was shedding his slave name to become the entity he was destined to be. According to an interview he gave in 2014, he wasn't a man, but was instead an angel, and he had come to Earth from his homeworld of Saturn. Music historians have written tons of books, cataloging his more than 200 albums of widely varied music, and Paul Youngquist had an interesting take on the whole angel and aliens from Saturn thing. They suggested he was putting a new spin on, quote, the whole harrowing history of African slavery. Slave ships in the Middle Passage were the first alien motherships. Either way, it goes without saying that Sun Ra's compositions are cosmic in quality and scope. So here's a weird one that history says has been linked to a mysterious ultra-classified U.S. Air Force investigation called Project Grudge Report 13. Two people reportedly associated with the project both recounted the 1956 story of Major William Cunningham and Air Force Sergeant Jonathan P. Lovett. It started when they were working outside of Holloman Air Force Base in Alamogordo, New Mexico, and Cunningham heard Lovett scream. When he went running in the direction of the shout, he found a silver disc hovering over the desert. A snake-like appendage had reached out and grabbed Lovett and was dragging him into the craft. By the time security got there, Cunningham was alone. Search parties didn't find Lovett for 3 days, and when they did finally find him about 10 miles away from where he'd last been seen, it was an awful sight. He'd been in the desert for somewhere between 1 and 2 days, and his corpse, which was missing important pieces like his eyes and tongue, had not only been mutilated, but was completely bloodless. The entire thing bore a striking similarity to the reports of mutilated bloodless cattle that are occasionally found and chalked up to weird extraterrestrials. That's the only record of the incident ever happening, but it's worth mentioning that while Grudge reports 1 through 12 and 14 are declassified in public, 13 isn't. It was Christmas 2001. According to the Limerick Post, Jerry Battles had been out for a few holiday drinks and had been walking back to his home in County Limerick, Ireland, when something quite peculiar happened. He described the event as such. It was a clear, dry night. It was really crisp and frosty, just beautiful. But I wasn't drawn by the light of the stars or the moon, but by a bright, surgical white light coming from the other end of the boreen. Battle says that he suddenly found himself on a spaceship, where he joined about 40 other people who looked to be in some kind of suspended animation. Then he was plucked from the group and found himself face to face with an alien that had a, quote, big cone head and beautiful ginormous eyes. When the alien asked him what he wanted to see, he answered that he'd always wanted to see the North Pole, please and thank you. Seconds later, there they were. Finally, the alien gave Battles a message. It was a warning that all life was going to be wiped out when an asteroid collided with the planet sometime around the year 2850. Battles said that they added, quote, that every one of our governments have been lying to us from day one and not to trust them, and then gave this advice. You must use the Force. Be one with the Force. Harness the Force.
Happy ending. Ending. I got a happy ending today.
Woo! Yowie!
Zoinks! This is Theyfola, the Butcher Dobashi. Please share, follow, and or subscribe on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on most of your major podcast platforms. I am also ordained, and I can marry you and give you all your blessing needs. Send your booking request to DobashiBookings@gmail.com. For all the links, go to LyricalSpit.com.
Help keep this show free by buying some of our swag of apparel at ButcherSpit.com. We have t-shirts, hoodies, and even baby onesies. That's ButcherSpit.com.
Be sure to check out Murky Chronicles, drops every Friday, hosted by yours truly, Theyfola, the Butcher Dobashi, and Kenny Roberts. With guests, stories, news on unexplained and bizarre happenings, you can listen on your favorite podcast platforms or just go to LyricalSpit.com for the latest shows and links.